take a moment of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. We recognize that this information is critical for us to understand what's really going on here and the reason why there's such chaos, where it all started, and how it is that we're part of the process of restoring reality to the universe on the basis of Jesus Christ and your word of truth. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated, subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've noticed how the liars in the media are accusing our president of causing division based on his standing in the truth. And I decided to go back and explain to me that no, it's actually the liars in the media that are the source of the division. And here's how you'd establish that. Our president is standing for establishment principles of the founders. And maybe not doctrine, to some extent maybe, but that's really not the issue. The issue is establishment. And of course, these guys are trying to wipe out all of the prehistory of the United States. And they're attacking evangelism. When you see Christopher Columbus being salted and torn down, that's evangelism. Well, that's one of our major missions, evangelism. Colonialism equals evangelism. A saved slave is better off than a so-called free, not slave. All right? Unbeliever. In other words, these people that showed up over here 200-300 years ago or whatever and got evangelized are far superior than these wackos that are running around with Black Lives Matter, because their great-great-great-grandparents are going to heaven and they're going to hell. So let's just get what's right here. And the predicate for this whole thing is in John 1. And this whole thing is about freedom and independence. Our emancipation occurred not with President Lincoln, and neither did theirs. It started in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ is emancipation. Because spiritual emancipation is superior to any other form of emancipation. And while temporal emancipation is okay, if you're not spiritually emancipated on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ alone, you're still dead. And you're still a slave. Even though you don't think you are. And that's the whole thing is designed to obfuscate the truth. That's what's going on here. Satan is on a major plan of obfuscation of truth. The truth is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, by establishment. So, the beginning of the beginning. Let's look at the predicate here. Where did this whole thing start? And we'll start from where that happened, because that establishes the baseline for what is first. And so, whatever came second created division. Not what came first. So, John 1, 1-5. This is the beginning. That's not a beginning that happened in eternity. This is the biggie. This verse refers to the first events of what we'd call time or eternity. In the beginning, and of course when you understand the concept, that was not really a beginning, because God has no beginning. The Word was the Word. Okay, so here's Jesus. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay, this goes back before anything ever existed. No people, no angels, no nothing. It's just God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not a thing came into being that has come into being. So, Jesus, the one who became Jesus, and that's what this chapter talks about, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, was the source of all things. That's Colossians 1:17 and Ephesians 1:3. In him was life, and the life was the light. Remember that word, the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or understand it. Okay, so this is the beginning. Now, why did the darkness not understand the light? Well, because it had been deceived. Now, I didn't have it here, but I need to go there. Should have had it in here. I added this one just before class, because I was looking at the predicates. Well, the John 1 passage describes the beginning, 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 beginning. Now we got another beginning. It's way after other beginnings. This happens after the angels are created. Genesis 1. Again, this isn't in our notes, but I'll add it later. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we see in Job where the angels rejoiced when this occurred. Okay, so the angels were already up and running and hadn't fallen yet when this occurred. So this was created. This creation was for the angels. It's a spatial creation, interstellar creation for the angels. The angels have capacity to function in interstellar space. We don't. We're confined to the earth. And that's for the reason for that. Now we find where the darkness came. Okay, the first thing's the light. So what's happening is the darkness in our country is accusing the light of creating division. No. So you can't cede these people any space. They assume the moral high ground and they actually live in the pit of hell. And too often we allow them to assume the moral high ground and we should yank their rug right out of them and throw them into the pit of hell where they belong. Because that's where they are. They're Satan, emissaries of Satan. And you'll notice in that passage it talks about Satan and his teachers. Satan operates as though he's an angel of light. But he's actually the emissary of darkness. Everything is opposite. Upside down. Verse 2. The earth was become formless and void. Wohu ta bohu. And darkness, well, there we go. Division was on the surface of the earth. And the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So here we see the division. There was light, John 1. There was darkness, Genesis 1, 2. There was light, Genesis 1, 3. So who created the division? Not God. Satan did. And so the emissaries of the dark side in our country that are accusing our president and those forebearers that established our nation of division are liars. But we let them get away with it. And we should not let them get away with it. They need to be confronted at every turn on that position. Slavery is not a sin. Unless you're spiritually enslaved. And you got nothing to do with that. That came from Adam. Everybody is a slave spiritually. And there is a mandate to get rid of, throw off slavery, and that's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you have spiritual emancipation. Nothing to do with temporal emancipation. There's not a single word in the Bible that says that slavery, temporal slavery, is a sin. Not the owner, not the slave. I'm sorry, it's not a sin. But homosexuality is, transgenderism is, and all these other things these people justify is a sin, that they obfuscate the truth and claim things that are not sin to be sin in their moral arrogance, self-righteousness. You can't cede them that space. They don't get to define sin. The Word of God defines sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. It's in 1 John. We'll see that later if we get there. That's the definition of sin. And if it isn't there, it ain't sin. Smoking a cigarette ain't sin. It's not there. Now, it may cause you problems physically. You might die because of it. Yeah, okay, fine. Not a problem. You get to die. Everybody gets to die at some point. And I'm not saying it's smart to smoke, but it's not a sin. All right, let's get things right here. So there's lots of things that the world makes a sin. I put it sin in quotes because it's not a sin. That isn't a sin. And they blink their eyes at things that really are. And that's the problem. You can't allow them the moral high ground. Ever. They don't deserve the moral high ground. They are of the devil. And they are murderers from the beginning. So, as a result of this transition, light, dark, light. Now, Jesus' work. Now, John 3, remember, is the context of John 3, is salvation by grace through faith in Christ in John 6, 3:16. In fact, let's back up to that just to get the context. Even though my discussion starts at 19. God loved the world in such a manner that he gave his uniquely born son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So this is God's solution to the darkness. Remember, the entire human race was consigned to darkness as a result of the spiritual death that occurred in the garden. Man and a woman were thrust out of the garden and they were up and running in the chaos of the devil's world from that point forward. And then God was revealing to them the protocol that he established for them, and that was in Genesis 3:15 regarding the seed of the woman. So this is the seed of the woman. He's actually showing up in person here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we talk about what God's up to. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world. The world there, the interesting word for judge here is krios. We're going to see this word translated different ways in this passage, and it's interesting to know that it's the same word. Judge can be mean condemn or judgment. It's actually judgment for the purpose of condemnation. That's really a way to understand it. So he did not send the world to condemn. The King James says condemn the world here. And that's actually better, probably, to really get the nuance of what's going on. It's not simply judgment. It's judgment for the purpose of condemnation. What's the condemnation? Lake of fire. Okay? God did not send his son to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. But he showed up and they assumed he did. Christians come along and they accuse Christians of condemning people. No. The Christian is simply the light that you can't stand because you're living in darkness. And we're going to address that in a minute. You see, these people assume the high ground when they deserve the low ground. And we can't allow them to have it. He goes on to say, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has already been judged. There's our same word, krio. Condemned. That's what it says in the King James. Better translation, probably. Because it really addresses what's going on. He who believes in him is not condemned, like a fire. He who does not believe has already been condemned, like a fire. Woo. Status quo. Unbeliever. Spiritual death. Slave. The Bible refers to everyone in spiritual death as a slave of the sin nature, which is a slave of Satan. It uses the word doulos, that in pusillanimous translations is called servant. Now, slave. That gets the real matter. And that's what's really going on here. Spiritual slavery. And that's the big deal in this country right now, spiritual slavery. They're whining and complaining about temporal slavery, which doesn't mean anything. But they're completely rejecting and obfuscating the truth, which reveals spiritual slavery, which is everything. So, he does not believe, has been condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So this sets us up for the sequence here. See, God is interested in us receiving from him what he wants to give us, not in having us do work. Now, if we do work later on, that's fine. It's got to be done the right way, right thing in the right way for the right reason at the right time. In other words, it's got to be filled with the Spirit. But his whole agenda for us is to take advantage of his grace, because we can't fix the problem on our own. Now, the world completely rejects that. They assume they have some capacity to do good. And they really don't. They only have capacity to do evil. It looks like good to people, but God doesn't accept it. So before God, it's evil, even though people accept it as good. And that's the problem. So there's no evaluation made that's accurate, and so people don't know really where they're at. So, and then we have, this is the judgment. That's where I think I picked up. Yeah. That's the light judgment. Okay, there we have. Condemnation. Same word. Condemnation. Judgment for the purpose of condemning. Now, what's being condemned here? The light has come into the world, or should I better say, been reasserted? Reasserted. Why was it not asserted? Well, because Satan deceived the whole world and the world went into darkness. But now Jesus is coming in person to reveal the light, which is what he did. Because he's the one who made it. He's the one who is light. He's that guy in John 1. So he's reasserting the truth. The division was caused by the liar, the satanic, demonic people, and their progenitor, Satan. So the judgment that the light has come into the world that men loved, and here's the problem, men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Ooh, there's our problem. So who created the division? Evildoers. Not God's people. No, they simply shine light on the fact that they're evil. And they don't like it. And rather than acknowledging their sin or believing in Jesus Christ, depending on where they happen to be in the process, they reject the light and condemn the light. Which is why they condemn our president. For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, because they're afraid that the deeds, their evil deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth, in other words, the one who's oriented to reality, true reality, not their fake reality, this is true spiritual reality. One who practices truth comes to the light because so that his deeds may be manifested. Oh, that's a big word. That means disclosed, displayed, understood, appeared, demonstrated. So his deeds, his works might be manifested, shown to be true, as having been wrought where? In God. See, that's our job right there. And we don't have to do anything to do that except live the spiritual life and stand our ground. And don't let them take the high ground because they don't own it. People always forget who owns the high ground. Jesus Christ owns the high ground. He always owns the high ground. And he's allowing, for the moment, liars to run the show in this country because people are negative. John 8. Jesus was, this is where we see the light connected to freedom and truth. Jesus is saying to the Jews who said had believed in him. Remember, they, so these guys are in the light. He goes on to say, so we have stages of light. We have stages of freedom. Positional emancipation occurs the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. But you have no experiential emancipation at that point because you have no doctrine. So he's talking about the second category of emancipation to these guys. They're saved. They're going to heaven. But they haven't a clue about truth. They're always going back to the Mosaic Law. And worse than that, they're going back to the oral law that the Jews taught. Remember, the big problem the Jews had done is they had perverted the true Mosaic Law and substituted their oral traditions for it. And Jesus came along and said, no. Your oral traditions are doctrines of men. I will comply with the Mosaic Law. And he confounded them every time. And of course, eventually, that's why they wanted to kill him. The same thing is going to happen to Christians here, because the Constitution ties to the truth. But the judges, the evil, perverse judges, have made a tradition of men that violates the Constitution. So don't be surprised if they kill you for it. They did Jesus. Again, don't cede them any space. Jesus never did. And they could not catch him until it was time. And he actually turned himself over to them. You've got to realize, if you read through the Gospels, you see where he actually disappeared in the crowd several times. Now, I'm not saying he disappeared, but he was lost in the crowd. And that's because it wasn't his time. When it was his time to go to the cross, he told his disciples, I'm going up there, I'm going to confront these guys straight on, and they're going to crucify me. Of course, that was dead smack center in the plan of God, because that had to happen. So he was fully engaged with that, and until such time as he was to be taken out, he could not be taken out. It's the same with you. You can stand up against these people all day long on anything against the Constitution, and you may take a hit, that they can't touch you unless Jesus allows you, him to. No, he may allow him to. Don't ever forget Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just because something happened to you bad doesn't mean the truth is not true. What did they tell Nebuchadnezzar? We will not bow down to that idol. So you can just go ahead and throw us in that furnace,
And even if he allows us to die, he's still God, and I'm not going to bow down to that idol. So basically he said, screw you and the horse you rode in on. That's what he told them. And they threw him into the fire. Oh, and guess what? Well, this is a miracle. God was evangelizing Nebuchadnezzar right here. And there were four people in the fire. And all the people that threw them in the fire were already burned up, because they got burned up and it was so hot. Okay. So, you can say the same thing about this COVID crap. Just because someone gets it doesn't mean that they're wrong. The reality is it's a test. And it's taken out God's people, and it's taken out Satan's people. If God's people are taken out, they're being blessed by, you know, divine grace. If Satan's people are taken out, they're suffering discipline. So it doesn't really matter. You can't get out of here if God doesn't allow you. So you can take the same attitude with that. Because it's just simply another test. So, ultimately here, having manifested has been wrought in God. And then we have Jesus saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue my word, that's our second category of freedom, then you are truly disciples of mine, which means you know who you are and what you're supposed to do, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So true freedom comes from truth. And the reason freedom in our country is being lost is because the purveyors of the lie are running the show. They're too influential. There's too much of them, too many of them involved. The country's losing its truth. So truth is capacity for freedom. When you understand God's system, you've got to realize God's system is based entirely on capacity. When the Word of God talks about works, he's talking about doctrinal capacity. That's the works. See, and Joe has talked about this in his James discussion, where faith requires a working object. Well, the working object is doctrine. Remember, doctrine or the faith, the word translated faith, can either be, it's the word pistis in the Greek, and it can be a noun or a verb. In the case of the noun, it's that which you believe. That we have a definition of sin that's kind of over, it's the over-encompassing definition of sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, that tells you the whole picture. What that means, faith in that context is doctrine. So anything that contradicts truth is sin. So that takes the category of sin way past the Mosaic Law, which is very finite, specific, establishment-related failure, sins, adultery and stuff like that, murder, whatever, covetousness. Covetousness is more general. But the Ten Commandments address specifically establishment principles. The entire range of truth is the Word of God. So anything that contradicts the truth of the Word of God is sin. Okay, so basically sin is anything that does not honor God. That's the way you should understand it. That's why fear is sin, for example. Fear is a failure to out-recognize God's provision in your situation. No, to recognize, respect, whatever category. And of course the verb side is that body, that you believe it. So you have to believe the doctrine. So the whole package involves believing the truth. That's really the way you should view it. So these guys had been saved, but they needed to augment their thinking with doctrine so that they would know the truth and then they would be free. Well, in what sense would they be free? Spiritually. Because spiritual freedom is the one that really matters. If you're free spiritually, you're free, regardless of your temporal status quo. That's why the Bible did not tell slaves to try to become free men. If the opportunity presented itself, fine. But don't go out of your way. Because you're just as free, or in fact, you're probably more free, as a believer in Jesus Christ who happens to be a slave than your master who is an unbeliever. Okay? Because remember, the issue is not what we do for God. The issue is what God does for us. That's what it's all about, what God does for us. So people that are slaves can receive just as much from God as one who is not. God's not limited in dealing with someone regarding their economic status. That's why in the church, I mean, that's the whole thing. This whole thing with this country, they're focusing on things that Jesus Christ terminated with the church. And I said this before, but I'll say it again. It's worth repeating. There is no Jew, no Greek. That's Jew and Gentile. There is no male nor female. That's the spiritual priesthood. There is no bond nor free. That's economic status. There is one thing, Jesus Christ, the new spiritual species, the new creation. That's it. And in this whole mess in this country, what's getting obfuscated is that. And Christians are allowing it to be because, oh, somebody was discriminated against racially. Well, welcome to the devil's world, you idiot. That happens every day, everywhere. And it isn't just one way. It happens all the time because it's an artifact of the devil's world. It's an artifact of the darkness. So don't pontificate for the darkness on the basis of this racial discrimination that you're so concerned about, which is meaningless. Meaningless. The issue is that new spiritual species. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Now that equality only addresses the priesthood. The priesthood. Because as that new spiritual species, we are the new priesthood for eternity. Not right now, but later we will be. In the eternal state, we are the priesthood, along with Jesus. So Paul talks about this and advances it. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject to slavery. See, he talks right about being slavery. Slavery is what? Slave to what? Slave to the old sin nature. That's what? That's the old man, new man concept. Old man, old sin nature. New man, Holy Spirit. 2 Peter, we see a passage we read regularly saying, this is what's going on. Live as free men, but don't use your freedom as a cloak for evil, but use it as God's slaves. The bond slaves of God, actually says. See, so we are to use our freedom to advance freedom, not tyranny. And what we have in our country is 50% of the people, it seems, are okay with the idea of advancing tyranny with your freedom. They're going to destroy liberty. Remember, liberty is what you have. Freedom is your execution of that liberty. So freedom can be used to tear down liberty and create tyranny. And people who are free but have no doctrine will do that. The first example was the Israelite, the first generation of Israel out of Egypt. They had freedom. And they had liberty with God and Moses. But they were so fearful of the liberty that they wanted tyranny in Egypt. See? So God freed them, yet he had no capacity for freedom. So all he could do was what? Let them die. He wasn't taking them back to Egypt because they were gone out of there and they were free. So the only thing that's left with people that won't change their mind is to let them die. It took 40 years for that to happen. So 40 years later, they crossed the river into the promised land because all except Joshua and Caleb had died. They did see, well, why weren't they free to go to the land? Well, they were initially. God gave them a year to get their act together and they didn't get it done. And so he took them down to the desert and ran around in circles for 40 years. And then the kids, 40 years that Moses taught the kids. And the second generation went into the land. What was the difference between the first generation and the second generation? Doctrine! That was it. The first generation was saved, but they did not believe the doctrine. The second generation was saved and they did believe the doctrine. So that's why they went into the promised land. See, it's not just about being positionally saved. It's about having capacity from doctrine. Matthew 10, this is where the light clearly identifies the darkness. Do not think I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Whoa, what's the sword? Division. Why didn't he bring peace? Well, because he illuminated the darkness. And so the darkness hated the illumination. And he accused the illumination of being evil. But of course, who was evil? Well, it was the darkness that was evil. Nothing new under the sun. For when I came, I set a man against his father and daughter against their mother, or daughter-in-law against their mother-in-law. So that was, the divisions are in the family. That's normal. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And why? 1 Corinthians 11. For the first place, when you come together of the church, I hear there are divisions among you. And in part I believe it, because there must be divisions among you, so that those who are approved may be what? Manifest. Oh, made evident. That's the same word we saw back up here with the light. The word manifest, relating to the light. Manifested. John 3, 21. Same word, basically. Same concept down here in 1 Corinthians. So what's going on here? The light is being manifested, shown, made evident. And the light is doctrine. So we're presently in our study of the doctrine of evil that is the product of believing the false narrative of the public lie that Satan, the god of this world, fabricates and asserts in his war against God's word of truth. So this is the war we're in. Remember, we were created to be engaged in the angelic conflict. That's why we're here. We are God's answer to Satan's allegation that God was unjust in condemning him to the lake of fire. So we, in our response to the adversities that we face, give an answer to that. And since anyone is saved is actually a witness for the prosecution, Satan's destiny is established. So as soon as man and a woman accepted God's solution in Genesis 3, he was already dead. And it's been going on ever since, because people in the plan, God foreknew, would be participants in the plan, the believers, from that point forward. Unbelievers are written out. They're not in there. They show up on the devil's world, and then they're going to be consigned to the lake of fire, forgotten forever. Only believers will be remembered. So we see this confrontation, Ephesians 6. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, this tells us where the real battle is, but against rulers, against the powers. This is Satan and his demonic forces. Against the world forces of the darkness, there's their mission, the darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So this, our battle is a spiritual battle. It's not temporal. Although occasionally it does blast out into the front yard, as it's happening in our country right now. At certain points and a certain confluence of history, you have a major confrontation between these issues. And there's a decision point made that's going to determine the future pretty significantly. And it's not the only time this has happened in our country. It's happened many times. But this is one of the more critical ones because of the nature of the engagement and the lack of integrity of those on the dark side. This is the first time there hasn't been a baseline of integrity on both sides. I mean, it's happened before. It happened in the War of Independence. You had the Tories against the Patriots. Same thing. One side was for slavery, one side was for freedom. And it re-happened in 1812. And then it happened over another issue, which was a non-issue, but it was foisted upon the politicians, so they went for it. And that was, of course, the Civil War, or the war between the states. Both sides had integrity there. I mean, there's losers in both cases, but both sides in general had integrity. And then we come up through all the other wars subsequently, and it isn't until now, after World War II, that we have basically no integrity across the country, the population. Not enough, anyway. So we're looking to lose this one, if we're not careful. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations. Remember, we've defined that as assertions that are made in arrogance. It's an assertion that's made that they assume to be true, but it isn't. This is the rug you got to pull out from under the dark side. this is their taking and assuming the moral high ground when they have none. Because they have no morality at all, because morality is defined by the Word of God. And they don't believe the Word of God. So we're destroying their speculations on every lofty thing raised up where? Against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive where? To the obedience of who? Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. So everything here, when you say Christ, you're including his addresses specifically his kingship and the fact that he's in charge of the whole show, not just his humanity. So this is actually a word referring to his hypostatic union. We're noting the nine gates of lead to the hatred of Satan's cosmic two system. Remember, the two systems are arrogance and hatred. And we stopped last time, we were noting the cosmic panacea gate, where all categories of God's grace policy, including salvation by grace and spirituality by grace, are rejected. See, the dark side rejects grace. God's policy is grace, because it's the only policy he can have. That's why he has to do all the work. And that's why the issue is believing. When you understand the concept of acquiring data by faith, it means you accept the veracity of the conveyor, the one who is stating the information. And if you accept the veracity of the person that's telling you, then you learn by faith. It's the fastest way to learn. Kids learn this way. The first 5 or 6 years of life, everything a kid learns is faith. They believe their parents. It's the simplest thing to do. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, unless you become like a little child, we can't advance in the plan. Because a child automatically acquires data on the basis of believing. It's a shortcut. It gets right past all the details. You accept the veracity of the source, and based on that alone, you decide for the idea. You don't have to check everything. Now, we talked about other systems of deriving information. There's empiricism, where you see things. But of course, the problem with that is Satan can fool you. And rationalism, where you use your thinking. And of course, the problem there is that Satan can fool you. So they fail. They fail the test because they can be faked. And everything that's in this world is fake. We talk about the fake news, but that's just one artifact, and that's a more recent observation. But the fake has existed since Satan deceived the woman in the garden. I mean, he invented fake with her. And the rest is history. The entire world is operated on the basis of fake. It's lies and deceit. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked into that. Or, if not sucked into it, countered by it effectively. You can't allow the fake to be asserted. You got to shed light on that fake, which is why you got to go back to the beginning. Instead of the pursuit of freedom and blessing by association that comes from unequal prosperity that freedom creates, remember, freedom creates potential. Potential has a factor of volition. Volition plus freedom equals inequality because of different volition. Tyranny creates, well, a form of equality. It's not really equality. People accept it as equality because everybody's equally broke or equally enslaved, except maybe the top couple people or the top party, as in China, for example, or Cuba or Russia. So unequal prosperity, freedom creates unequal prosperity. The arrogant demand social justice and equality. See, in their arrogance, they think they have a better way, but they don't. Because there's more produced freedom than there is with social justice and equality. You can't get social justice and equality in the devil's world. Not available. Oh, there's a lie about it existing, but it's a fake. That's fake news right there. Social justice and equality are fake. They cannot happen in the devil's world. Now, the only place they can happen is in Christ. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have social justice and equality. Why? Social justice, You got everything for nothing on the basis of faith in Christ alone. That's justice. You're not dying on the lake of fire because you're saved. If that ain't justice, I ain't seen it. Somebody else paid the ticket for you. That's grace. Equality, at the moment you're filled with the Spirit at second birth, you're equal to everybody else that's believed. Now, you're not equal very long, but at that microsecond that you believed in Jesus Christ, you are exactly in the same spot as every other person who believed in Jesus Christ when they believed in Jesus Christ. You're spiritually alive and you're a moron because you don't know any doctrine. So the question is, what are you going to do with your spiritual freedom? Nothing? Or are you going to go learn the doctrine somewhere? You see, that's the question. Most people choose to do nothing. So the moment that happens, that's a choice. And so while they have freedom, they never take advantage of it. So they never advance in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they're going to heaven. Oh yeah, definitely. But they will be unequal because of their negative volition to the truth of the Word of God. At salvation, or right, immediately after salvation. The unjustified means is a motto of Cosmic 2. So they will do anything. That's why the inevitable process to what we're going through in this country is war. That's the next step. Once they've cut us off, we allow it to happen, and we can't allow it to happen. Well, eventually it's going to. But if there's enough believers in this country that are positive, it won't. We have to not allow them to separate it from our history. Because there's absolutely nothing wrong with our history. We're simply people who are saved by grace, who make mistakes, but we have the doctrine, and we had the doctrine, and so we advanced and we adjusted. We changed. Things are not the same as they used to be. But the principles of the founding still stand. Evangelism is not a sin. Colonialism is not a sin. Sorry, Christopher Columbus was not out of line when he did what he did. It was the will of God that he come to this country. And these people were throwing his statue into the ocean or whatever it is, the bay, whatever, tearing them down. Why? Because he represents God. That's why. Now, was he a person? Did he have failures? Did he do things wrong? Absolutely, just like the rest of us. That's not the point. That's not the point. Do people who are slave owners do wrong things? Absolutely. That's not the point. Did they change their mind? Some of them did. Same with the slaves. A slave can be a sinner just as much as a slave owner. In fact, they are. They just do different kinds of sins. Maybe the same kind of sins. Depends on their sin nature. So, economic status has nothing to do with any of it. It's a non-factor. But these people will stop at nothing to destroy this country, and they're starting by desecrating our inheritance, which is establishment. In their pursuit of social engineering, or re-engineering, the purveyors of the cosmic panaceas use violence, terrorism, and revolution. And that's what we see happening. We've got violence and terrorism going on right now. And are just about to launch the revolution. The state trains the children to be obedient to the dictates of the state rather than to the parents. This could be one of the reasons COVID showed up. Shut down the schools. What needed to be shut down? The schools. The schools are the biggest purveyors of doctrine of demons that there is. They're why we are where we are. Put this thing right back in the laps of the parents, who may or may not like it, but that's too bad. The schools probably maybe shouldn't reopen. Because they're the source of the problem. Actually, no. It's the parents who let the schools run autonomously that's the source of the problem. The parents should have reined them in. So, the state trains the children to be obedient to the dictates of the state rather than to the parents, resulting in complete rejection of legitimate authority. See, true authority is learned in the home. The parents are responsible for the children. And the children are to obey the parents. There's mandates there. Disobedient to parents, that's number 5 of the commandments. That is not only a sin, that's an anti-establishment protocol if you're violating it. See, there's different categories of sin. All sin is sin. All sin required Jesus to go to the cross. But some sins have greater consequences on the on the national level. And that's establishment. So they're not necessarily worse, but they cause more damage to the zeitgeist of the nation. So, rather than the state trains the children to be obedient to the dictates of the state rather than to parents, resulting in complete rejection of legitimate authority and freedom that is based on the establishment clause of God's word of truth. See, these people, these kids that have gone through this propaganda campaign that's been running for the last 100 years in this country, roughly, have no capacity for freedom because they don't know truth. So they're doing exactly what their father, the devil, would have them do. And there's nothing new here. It's happened before. I was thinking today about when has this happened before? Where do we have a good picture of this happening? And we do have a good one. It's in the Bible. It's the Absalom revolution against David. It's identical to what we've got going on here. David was in a position of strength and prosperity, but he was not using his job as king properly to manage the affairs of his family. And because of sentimentality, well, that's the problem we have in our country. He allowed Absalom to assert himself and almost take the country away from him. Because Absalom intercepted the people from David. And David was just passive. Well, that's us. The adults in the room in the United States. Absalom, and they were sentimental to the kids. Well, David corresponds to us, the older generation. Absalom corresponds to the Black Lives Matter group. And Antifa. Bunch of kids. And then you've got the Democrats. Who's that? Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's advisor. And when David rejected some things that he wanted him to do, he broke with him and he went to work with Absalom. So he advised the dark side. Now, if things are according to the way things happened then, Ahithophel and Absalom died. Well, that might well be what happens here. Who knows? It's different because that's Old Testament. But the players are identical. It's happened before. It's happened over and over again. We've got passive arrogance in David. You've got active arrogance in Ahithophel. Active arrogance in Absalom. And the advisor to Absalom is David's close friend. The turncoat. Judas. In the Psalms, that's the correlation. Judas Iscariot is equivalent to Ahithophel. In the Psalms. So when Jesus is reciting the Psalms about the Judas and being betrayed, the near view of that was David and Ahithophel. So it's all happened before. And the players are playing the same roles as the first time. I mean, it probably happened. Well, you can probably go back to Satan and God in the garden. I would say the same God certainly wasn't passively arrogant. But the kind of play the players play out is almost the same. So it's nothing new under the sun. This happens over and over and over again. So the challenge is we got to stand up for truth and not be dissuaded.
Religion is ritualism and legalism is Satan's counterfeit for God's grace policy and design. The problem with religion and ritualism and legalism is that they always fail the grace test. And religious people, ritualistic people, and legalistic people fall for the not the hidden agenda, but the thing is out front, the rhetorical veil. The rhetorical veil in this story with our past is racism. The churches are falling for this crap because they don't recognize what's going on. So they say, oh yeah, we were racist. They don't say, yeah, everybody is, because they are. And oh yeah, you know, we did bad things. So we're going to try to fix it. You can't fix it. It happened in the past. So you're going to get run over if you even acknowledge the fact. The issue is salvation by grace and faith alone. That's the issue. Our forebears that did these sins, for the most part, were believers. And they had to rebound the sins they committed in the process of the situations they were in, if they did. If they're going to be filled with the Spirit. The question is, are anybody nowadays rebounding? I bet the answer to that question is no. Especially on the dark side. So, religion deceives people into thinking they're okay when they're not. And it gives them a lack of discernment regarding the true issues. So religious churches will go on a crusade along with Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, and they will be a part of the problem rather than the solution, what they should be, by pushing back. See, because their basis for their relationship with God is wrong. It's based on works, not grace. And that's the biggie. It's not about works. It's about grace. All of us have to be saved by grace, and we have to live by grace. Grace never stops. And grace is what? Something we don't do. It's something we receive from God. And all of us, the only unity you're going to find in any of this is if everybody accepts that. Apart from that, it ain't going to happen. It's going to be a war. So religion with this ritualism and legalism is Satan's counterfeit for God's grace, policy, and plan. Christianity is not a religion, but is a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ on the basis of grace and faith. Religion is man's effort, through man's effort, seeking to obtain God's acceptance. See, that's the problem. Religious people think they can buy the opposition off. You can't. You can't. They will never be bought off. They will kill you. So that's not the battleground. They got to be confronted on the basis of Jesus. Because that's the only answer. 2 Corinthians 11:3 to 5 describes religious leaders. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. So they present themselves as teaching truth. But they're not. No wonder, this is a passage I was referencing earlier, for even Satan disguises him as an angel of light. But he's actually an angel of the dark side. In fact, he's the one who created it. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So that's what's going on. And that's why so many so-called, well, they're Christian. I guess you could say they're believers. Doctrineless believers side with the opposition because they don't recognize what's really going on. Because their relationship with God after salvation is on the basis of works, not grace. It's all about grace. And grace never ceases to be the factor. So it looks like we're out of time, so we'll pick up here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, the blessing it is for us to have the information in order to properly perceive what's actually going on and be prepared to give an answer of the hope that lies within us when the opportunity is presented and hold the ground with truth. And not yield at all. We ask you to help us to do that by means of the Spirit, and we ask this thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.